It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and today I'm joined by Joe as we have a look at yet another FPL team reveal ahead of the new season. The game is here. It's day three, day four, depending on when you're listening to this or watching this. And already a little bit of a template is forming, isn't it, Joe? And it's nice to sink our teeth into that. But anyway, how are you doing? How was launch week for you? Everybody's had different tales to tell of broken F5 keys and all sorts of things. So what's it been like for yourself?
Yeah, it was fine for me. I mean, I work at home, so I was sitting at my computer anyway. And I was refreshing every now and again. I wasn't like relentlessly pressing F5. But I got an ID rank, four digits, 8,000 and something. So it's easy to remember. That's the key. I had a five digit one last season because I was like 5 minutes later after the launch. And that wasn't too bad, actually. It was quite memorable. I've forgotten it now, but it was memorable at the time. And so I think that's the key, really. But obviously, you know, getting number one is good. But I'm sure that's probably Bagsy by the guy that presses the button ultimately to make it go.
You'd hope so. I mean, interestingly enough, I can't reveal who, but somebody at Scout managed to get number two. So we were all very, very, very jealous of that person.
Wow.
Because as you say, it's memorable. I ended up with a six-figure one last year because I was at work, but I was back then, my day job wasn't fantasy football for a time. And so I was a couple of hours late. And the amount of times I got it wrong when trying to put it into live FPL, I kept landing on someone else's team. It's so difficult to remember. So yeah, I managed to get a four figure as well. So I'm 5601 this year, much more memorable. And but it's crazy that within 5 minutes, it sounds that you've ended up 3,000 further. It's not really a pecking order, but it's, you know, it's crazy.
No, but it's, but ultimately it doesn't matter because what matters is the players that we choose and the formation and how we move those around over 38 game weeks. So you can have, and I think I was reading somewhere that no one with a low ID has ever really won it. I think most people who win it tend to have quite a low ID, so proves they're a bit more relaxed than perhaps we are.
Yeah, maybe we're the ones doing something wrong. That's the thing. Well, you mentioned the players, so let's jump right into your team then. And I'll just list it off for the benefit of the podcast listeners, and then we can jump into some of the specifics. So the 50-50s or whatever you call a 50-50 that has four players in it from the same club, because we've got a couple of those. So we've got Fabianski and Areola are the goalkeepers, Shaw, Estupinan and Trent as your starting defenders, with Botman and Bayer on the bench, Madison, Rashford, Mitoma and Bermo, Saka as your five-man midfield, and then Haaland captained, obviously. and Jesus up front with Archer as your forward on the bench. So,
okay,
yeah, I'm going to guess Haaland was the first name on your team sheet. So that's sort of a redundant question. Who was the second name on your team sheet?
Well, I mean, basically, it's more a question of who isn't the second name on the team sheet. This time last season, the second name on the team sheet was Salah. And both Haaland and Salah got double-digit scores. And I think I captained Salah. Don't think I captained Haaland. No, or maybe it was the other way around. Either way, they both did well. And whether you captain them, it was a good thing. So that's the main decision with this team. And that's why you will see in a lot of these team reveals, and you will see on social media, people going for a 3-5-2 with one premium with Haaland. And that's because the first decision I made was not to have Salah. So the second name on the list was a whole bunch of players, because when you don't have Salah, you can have a whole bunch of great other players. So like Saka, Rashford, Jesus, Trent Alexander-Arnold, these are all second choice players. There's so many of them. And there was something I put up on Twitter as the game was launching, really, because we already knew the prices. Haaland and Rashford is 23 million. Kane and Salah is 25 million. So that's going if you want to go without Haaland. If you want to get Salah or Kane with their 12.5 million plus Haaland, who's 14 million, costs 26.5 million. So ultimately, by going Haaland and say Rashford, or Haaland and say Saka, who I've got both of, you're saving 3.5 million. Off the bat, and that 3.5 million can be invested again, making sure you get Trent, making sure you've got a really great midfield, making sure you can maybe, instead of getting the Luton's main striker to start with, who is unproven at this level, no disrespect to him, but he's unproven, we don't know, you can get Jesus instead. So that's the roundabout answer to that. Who is the best second? Who is my second choice? Loads of them, because my second choice isn't Salah.
Yeah, it makes such a difference. We have spread that money, and it's already becoming effectively the deal breaker between one template and another, I suppose, in that you've got the Salah, there's a Salah template, and then there's a no Salah template.
Yeah.
I'm probably seeing, I reckon, 1 in 3 with him in terms of where we have access to people's teams. In terms of the actual overall ownership at the moment, he's in about 25% of teams. I kind of expect that to go up maybe when we get more casuals join in, but for now I don't feel too naked without him.
Well, that is the downside of not having Salah and having all these other great players, is that Salah, who is has been remarkably consistent over years, and there is no evidence that he will not be markedly consistent. In fact, and anything, he could be even more consistent because he's got better midfield behind him this season. So you've got him and Kane. Kane, how reliable has Kane been? And it's Kane is the one I'm actually more nervous about not owning. So they are really potent differentials. So another factor behind not having Salah. So it's often the fear of missing out. It's fear of missing out on his points. Fear of his huge ownership. He won't have huge ownership, so you don't have to worry about that. Also, towards the end of the last season, I think it was around about my second wild card, 29, game week 30, around that time, I got Salah in and then removed him. So the last part of that season, last couple of months of the season, I had no Salah. So I've experienced that. What was it like to go without Salah? Well, I ended up finishing in the top 10K. So it went very well. And so my immediate memory of not having Salah is everything is going to be all right. And so I don't have that fear. And I really like my team in that I feel prepared for game week one. I feel prepared for pre-season as well. So, and that's the key, because this team and all the players will change, but I think the price points will stay the same because there's so much choice in all of those price points. And so I think that's going to stay the same. It's just the players will change, and that's going to be heavily influenced by pre-season. Of who we see in pre-season. Say Fernandes emerges with Mason Mount as a really great asset, and Rashford is like sort of okay. So, well, if Fernandes on penalties is getting better returns than Rashford, well, it makes sense to downgrade him there. And I can do it with this structure. So it goes like that. And you can do that same with the Arsenal midfielders. How's Havertz going to fit in? You know, how's it going to impact Odegaard, Saka, et cetera, et cetera? Will Jesus be effectively redundant? Will he become the assister of the assister? And all of those questions will be answered in pre-season. But with this structure that I've got here, I can chop and change. I can move around because there's so many choice in particularly in midfield. So, I mean, I'm looking at the midfield list from 9 million to 7 million. Already, I want six or to seven of them. Rashford, Son, Odegaard, Saka, Fernandes, Martinelli. And then there's a whole bunch like Jota, Havertz, Diaz, Foden, Grealish, Mahrez, Maddison, who I do have in my team, Sterling at 7 million. And then you've got all the Brighton mids and Bomo in a who has traditionally done well in a Brentford in a Tony-less Brentford team. So you've got how many is that? I mean, that's like 20 midfielders I want. So there's no way I'm not going with five mid in the midfield. I need every one of those slots. And that is something that's carried over from last season. Even if I'm wrong about all of these players, I've got another 15 ready to come in, chomping at the bit. Mm-hmm. Sterling can't wait to get in my team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy just how many options there are. And I think that view of looking at things in terms of price points, it actually is a huge difference maker in your ability to have flexibility to go from one week to the next. It was actually something that I had not been that au fait with before I sort of joined Scout 5 years ago now, 6 years ago, something like that. And it was one of the first pieces of advice actually that you gave me, which was to put your team into price points. Don't necessarily get bogged down in who the players are. Focus on who the price points are. And then when you get to game week 3, 4, 5, 6, and you need to jump on another bandwagon, it's going to be much easier to get to that bandwagon without breaking your team if you've done your price points right. And the impact it had on my team was incredible because I, that particular first season where I started using that methodology, I came 17k. I went something like 17 weeks without my captain blanking. I could have finished in the top 5k that year, but just kind of tailed off towards the end. It makes a huge difference. If there's anybody sort of just coming to fantasy for the first time, my general advice is that will have more impact on your team than probably anything else to build it around the money.
And also, people get a bit confused by price points. So you look at all the price points. So you've got 5 million players, 7 million players, 8 million players, 12 million players, blah, blah. But so people think that you need one of each in order to move around. But what you don't, you need to be nearish them. And the price points evolve as well during the season. But currently, as it stands at the moment, as I've just reeled off that list of midfielders, the price point between the 9 and 7 million is absolutely huge, a wealth of options. They priced pretty much everyone I want in that area, maybe a bit of 6.5. So say you've got a 6.5, so you've got Mbomo or Matoma who are 6.5. You know, getting an extra million to bump them up to, say, Maddison is not a problem, or to a Sterling. So you just got to be, can you do that, make that move in two moves? Or you can save a transfer and do it in three moves, or hopefully in one move. So you don't have to be exact with the price points. And it's so clear here. I mean, like, for example, strikers. So strikers have essentially sort of been downgraded really in a fantasy football term and a real football term as well. So, you know, the traditional two strikers up top, you very rarely see that. It's usually a striker and it's very exciting wingers, maybe full wing backs as well, supporting them. These are the people who are getting the points. And sometimes the striker increasingly is, say, like a Firmino, you know, who's sort of just sort of there to pass the ball, might get some assists, but sort of being annoying and in the way. And Jesus has that potential to be like that. So, you know, it's a waiting brief on him. But, you know, at the same time, he can be a very good goal scorer. So that whole nature has changed. So while we have this wealth of options in midfield, you've got your wingers, you've got your attacking midfielders, you've got those on penalties as well. Up top, you've hardly got any choice. I mean, Haaland, I mean, basically, the narrative of this game week one really should be 4-5-1 because there's a lot of choice of defence, a lot of choice in midfield, hardly any choice up front. But I would be 4-5-1 is very inflexible. And if you go for a 4-5-1, you cannot, it's very difficult to move a 4.5 striker up to a Jesus. You've got to find 4 million, 3.5 million or so somewhere. So that's why I've gone for Jesus, because I might want Watkins. I might want Wilson at Newcastle. I might want Nkunku, who's unproven. I might even want Mitrovic. I might want Gakpo at Liverpool. In fact, I probably do want Gakpo at Liverpool. I might want Isak. I might want a Luton's main striker. I might want Sheffield United's main striker. I might even want Weghorst. I don't know. Because that's the thing. I think people, they put that little lock symbol. Oh, I'm locked in. I'm locked in with this. And I'm not locked in with anyone. Anyone can move. But I know that I will want a second striker at least. So that's why Jesus is there. He's there because I think he's really good. I started with him last season and he was great until he was injured. I'll keep him as a placeholder for all of those different strikers. And it goes back with defense as well. I mean, if you look at the amount of defenders, how many defenders are like around 5 million or so, give or take half a million. Do you want? I mean, loads. I mean, all of the Arsenal ones have been priced kindly. The Chilwell and James, great. James will get injured. Just get Chilwell in. You got Stones at Man City. Nathan Ake. He could be another regular starter. And then you got Stupinan. You get the narrative. Same with midfield. Shaw, Gabriel, Saliba, Zinchenko, Dunk, Stupinan at Brighton. It just goes on and on and on. Ake. You've got, that's 12 names. You've got 5 defence slots. So arguably we need 5-5-0. No, that would be no Haaland. 4-5-1. Yeah, 4-5-1 should be the narrative. And we'll start seeing that narrative change.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped. Streaming June 4th. Only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
But there is a reason it's 3-5-2, because that's all of those reasons we looked at, all of those defenders, all those price points, those midfielder price points, and because of that is why on these, a lot of these team reveal videos, I was listening to General's one this morning, and my team is very similar to his. Some of the players are different, but essentially the price points are the same and the thinking is the same, and that's because it's logical and it makes sense based on those players, and that they're just going to change in pre-season. But what you'll start to see is, because there's always a drive in social media and amongst content creators as well to be different. Oh, everyone's doing 3-5-2. Well, I'm going to be different. And yeah, well, that's great. But what you'll probably find is that you're being different is probably a bit inflexible and it might not work. So, just be prepared to be wrong. Basically, that's what I always do at the beginning of every season. Be prepared to be wrong.
Yeah. And well, the shape is built so that if you are wrong, getting to something that is right is much easier, and that's the thinking, really, isn't it? I've seen a couple of 4-5-1s, and I agree with you. I feel like the fourth, but also in some way, I mean, for me, my opinion is that the ceiling sometimes for some of these, the floors for some of the strikers is probably higher than the floors for some of the defenders, even if the ceiling is higher for the defender because they can get a clean sheet, goal assist, etc. Strikers can't get the clean sheets. You're more likely to captain your second striker in off game weeks for Man City, possibly. Yeah. Whereas you maybe wouldn't do that with your fourth defender. Just 3-5-2 seems the way to go. And I even say that as I've been a 3-4-3 man for years and years. I think I've started in 3-4-3 every season I can remember. But in each of the last two, I spent various stages in 3-5-2, and it felt a bit uncomfortable, like wearing a coat that was one size too big for me. But at the very least, it kept me warm and dry through the rain. So yeah. I kind of yeah. could at least appreciate the benefits. And this year, I'm just thinking, it's unavoidable this year to be in 3-5-2. I think.
I think going back to that, the first point, Salah and Haaland, or just Haaland, and I think that is key. And I've yet to see a draft with Salah and Haaland I like, because they've all cut too many corners. They don't have Alexander Arnold. They won't have Saka and Rashford, or Saka and Fernandez. And there's too many corners cut, and I just do not like the look of them. And I think that's why 3-5-2 will be popular. I mean, I've seen, who's like Fulham midfielders in there and things. Why? I mean, you've got all of these midfielders priced really kindly. Why would you have like Fulham midfielder in there? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's very restrictive when you try and put Salah in. And I mean, I think a big thing for me is that I'm not seeing many drafts with Trent and Salah. I actually think of the two, Trent is probably more important to own. I think we haven't talked too much about captaincy, but I think generally it's not too difficult a point to really sort of make. We probably agree on this because, you know, we've got a good history, me and you, Joe, doing the captaincy video. There's only one game week I'd probably captain Salah in the first six, and it's the Bournemouth game.
I don't think he's ever scored in game week two.
Well, there we are. And you know, they won.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to be corrected wrong on that, but I don't think he's ever hauled rather in game week two.
Yeah. And of course, there was the 9-0 where he didn't get anything. So that could happen. Alternatively, he might still do okay. But the thing is that the effective ownership is never going to be high enough for it to necessarily damage you, even if he does well. Yeah. And the way you'll bulk up in other areas is going to be useful. And I think there's a lot of people going without Trent. And I do think he can be a massive... differential is maybe the wrong word this year, but he can make a big difference, I think. So
I'm going to plug a video on the Fantasy Football Scout channel. It's one I did a couple of weeks ago on captaincy rotation, and I did a sort of captaincy matrix on it. Do have a look at it for the first six game weeks, so it's worth having a look at that. I agree with you. Salah on paper is the best one in game week two. Kane is the best in game week five, Sheffield United at home. So there are better choices, but Haaland is not a bad choice in those ones. He's the best choice in virtually all of the fixtures, in virtually all of the game weeks. But say game week two, Salah's got Bournemouth, but Haaland has Newcastle, but it's Newcastle at home, and Man City at home will Haaland score at home against Newcastle? Yeah. I mean, can he score five goals in the Champions League? Our Newcastle Champions League side. So, you know, these are, you know, he's not too shabby. And so I'm quite happy to just perma-captain him for a while. But with Rashford and Saka in particular, I think you do have two very, very credible vice-captains, alternative captains. Game week one, realistically, I actually think Saka is the best captain at home to Nottingham Forest against Haaland against Burnley away, because Haaland, as great as he is better at home, and Saka was better at home as well. And you know, that could be a huge score for Saka there.
And Forest were terrible away from home. They were the worst team away from home last year. So
in Rashford and Saka, you've already got two very, very credible vice captains. And I think, you know, we do last season we were starting to think of Alexander Arnold as a credible captain. And I think he is home games against easy sides. He's going to rack up assists, bonus, and he might get you clean sheet points as well. In fact, might be more likely this season because their midfield is better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the ceiling for Trent this year is quite high. And Szoboszlai coming in is a big, big signing. And many people have been making the point that, you know, Trent obviously looked very good going forward in the sort of embryonic stages of them shifting to that different formation when they're in possession. A little bit more time practicing that in pre-season and how well it went at the back end of last season, plus that additional bit of steel in midfield. We could see that this is how they get back to being able to keep clean sheets again. And once that happens, I mean, I think that people could be scrabbling around for getting Trent for game week two, possibly. Mm. I mean, he might even have a big game week one. I mean, Chelsea defensively last year weren't amazing, and Pochettino, I think, will have an impact eventually, but it could take a while. So, arguably, I mean, I don't know. I was about to say maybe Trent's harder to get to from your defence than Salah is from your midfield. Maybe that's a bit of a stretch to say, but I just kind of feel like if you haven't got Trent, I don't know who your most expensive defender is going to be. Whereas in midfield, if you haven't got Salah, you've maybe got a 9 or a 9.5 or something. And so, yeah, because I don't think many people are going to have Trippier, for example. So if you don't have Trent, your most expensive defender is a 5.5. And where do you find that extra money to get?
Yeah.
You know, you probably just won't go for it, and then you're going to miss out.
So, I mean, say, for example, say I wanted Salah, Alexander-Arnold and Rashford, what's that? 8 plus 9, 70. So there you go. There you get a 4.5 defender and Salah, done. That can be done easily in two moves if you want to do that. I'm not going to do that because I'm sacrificing two great players for one great player and one 4.5 who, you know, and I've got, say, Botman already ready and waiting to go into that role. So I don't need that cheap 4.5 defender. But anyway, I suspect some of my players will be different to the other ones as well. So, I mean, that's my thoughts on the sort of structure and why I've gone for 3-5-2 and all of those things. But some of the players are different. And I think that's where the nuance will occur for most teams, really. I think these will chop and change. And that goes for me right from the back, really, with the goalkeepers.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your goalkeepers because me and you have historically been massive fans of Fabianski, and I feel like me and you have had to sort of put our Fabianski club membership perhaps on the shelf. It's gathered some dust because he's been priced too expensively, but finally he's back at what we would say is the dream FPL price for him. Yeah. And you've paired him with Areola, who, if I'm not mistaken, is 4 million. So, you know, a West Ham goalkeeper.
Yeah.
What's your thought? Well, I mean, clearly you like the look of a West Ham goalie.
Well, no, I do not want to go into the season relying on West Ham's defence, especially when they don't have such a great squad. I would like to, however, rely on West Ham defence in some kind of rotation.
Right, I see.
So if Areola is the number one, this is the dream, really, for me. That Areola emerges in pre-season as the number one. He is the number one over Fabianski. So then I would be looking at pairing him with another 4.5. There's no need for Fabianski then. And then I would probably look at Leno. So over the last season, if you look at in the Fantasy Football Scout members area, I've got a table of good goalies and minutes per save last season. Top with a save every 22.5 minutes was Leno at Fulham. And by happy coincidence, Fulham have a good opening fixtures, Everton and Brentford. And then West Ham have Bournemouth and Chelsea. So you've got a bit of a choice of goalkeepers there. But then you've got, with Fulham, they've got a couple of dodgy fixtures with Arsenal and Man City. So you don't want them there. But however, during that run, West Ham at Brighton, okay, might not get clean sheet there, but might get saves. But Luton could get clean sheets there. Then West Ham's fixtures, 5 and 6, they've got Man City and Liverpool. Right, I don't want to be playing a West Ham. I mean, basically, do I want to play a West Ham goalie against them? No. But however, Fulham, they have Leno has Luton and Crystal Palace. That's much better. So for me, what I would like first 6 game weeks is Leno and the West Ham goalie. And if it's Areola, great. If it's Fabianski, I can't afford that.
Okay.
So if I just go for Leno, for example, then at game weeks 3 and 4, he's facing Arsenal and City, which is going to be a nightmare. But the other 4 are good. So I might be leaning towards that way. I've seen Pickford in quite a few, but I've got to look at teams and how they're evolving in this transfer window. So Aston Villa getting better, preparing for Europe, great new signings. Brighton, well, they've got Europe and they're losing to, they've already lost one, but they're going to lose another of their great midfielders, Caicedo. So will they better cope? Well, they're a system-based outside, so they should do. So, and they've got some good new additions as well. So Brighton, if Brian could say the same and be Europa League squad, great, amazing. So I don't think they're going to dip too much. Liverpool are going to be better. Chelsea should be better. Everton, last season, no disrespect, but they were pretty much a championship side in personnel, in players, in this way they played. As a neutral, who's your second team? It's going to be like the Brighton. Could this season it could be Luton, you know, second team as in the team you sort of root for to win. Who's second team is Everton? It's like they've overspent. They bought about 1,000 midfielders they didn't need a few years ago, probably still counting the costs from that. They seem terribly run, and they just seem like an awful side. I mean, and so do I really want to trust Pickford, you know, for the first six game weeks or so? Even though the fixtures are okay, I mean, Fulham at home, but then they've got Villa, Wolves and Sheffield United. That could be good. That could be good. But then they got Arsenal, Brentford. I don't see. I just think all of those teams probably. All those teams are better than Everton. Apologies, Everton fans.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It does make a lot of sense. I mean, I haven't gone too near Everton defence just yet. There is a possible decent pairing with Luton, but as you've mentioned many times already, Luton are sort of unproven, aren't they? And
you're relying on two championship sides in the Premier League.
In effect, yeah.
Facing Haaland and Saka, yeah. Rashford.
Yeah, it's dangerous, isn't it, for sure? You've mentioned Brighton in there, and we obviously have to get your view on them being your club, and we've got the Seagull scarf behind you as well. We've got some 4.5 million goalkeepers there, and I think one question I keep getting all the time, and I have no idea what the answer is, and maybe you don't know either, but you have slightly more credentials than me about Verbruggen, Steele, Sanchez. Do you have an indication of who we think might be the starting goalkeeper? And once we do have the indication of who that is, are you interested in them as well? Obviously, you've got a Stupinian. He's 5 million as well. Mm. So you clearly trust their defence to some extent. I'm imagining a Stupinian's there for the attacking returns. But a lot of interest in the Brighton goalkeepers because they've been priced so kindly. Well, what's your view with them?
Well, I think a lot of, say, content creators and Brighton fans indeed will be under pressure when they're asked that question. Say, oh, it'll definitely be this, definitely be that. It's simple. I don't know. Okay. But watch pre-season. Follow Neil's lovely articles on Fantasy Football Scout detailing pre-season. And then you'll get your answer. And people asked me that before. Sanchez, Steele. Which one's going to start? I said, just watch the next game. And that will give you your answer. And so that is the answer to that. My instinct is that Steele is still the number one. What has he done wrong? And he is probably one of the, bizarrely, especially for Sunderland fans, one of the best keepers at starting play. So if a keeper starts getting assists, then you know they're doing well. And, you know, I mean, your heart is in your mouth sometimes when, you know, he's got the ball and he's just sort of dribbling around, you know, attackers from the opposing side. But, you know, he's a ball-playing goalkeeper. So my instinct is he's there. Who is the person pushing still? Well, it's not Sanchez anymore because he just down tools and he'll go, I presume. So I think Verbruggen's been brought in for that. That's my instinct. He's been brought into competition. So as soon as Steele, you know, form dips, Verbruggen comes in. He's ready and made, ready to come in. So that's my instinct there. And in defence as well. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to get Colwell back from Chelsea. I just can't see that. So it's going to be, you know, it's going to be sort of what you would expect, really. Dunk and Webster, Dunk and Van Heek. And then you're going to have a Stupinan and Veltman, and Gross can play as a right back as well. And you've got Lamptey as well, who could be fit and could be better this season if he's fit. So that's why I've gone for Stupinan. I think he's good. 128 points, 5 million, great. And his fixtures start turning when, coincidentally, Newcastle's improve. And Botman is ready to come in as my third defender.
Yeah, I mean, Estupiñán, actually, at the price he's at, is actually still benchable, I think, which is quite nice, because I initially didn't put Estupiñán in my first draft because I didn't quite fancy having him in terms of longevity. I wanted to be... I was... we'll come on to their midfield in a second, actually, because I wanted a Brighton midfielder because I think the fixtures are really nice for the first three or four when there's a slight turn for maybe Spurs and Chelsea, and then it's a possible jumping off point there. Whereas I didn't want to necessarily book that in with a stupid now, but actually he is definitely benchable. And so I've put him in now, to be honest, and I'm a big, big fan of his. I suppose my question would be, of all of the names you've discussed, the Stupinan, I assume, is who you think is the best option. And would you imagine that doubling up on Brighton defence is maybe too much if you went for
that's
a Stupinan and Steele? Okay. Yeah,
that's too much. Ultimately, what I would really like is just to rely on Steele.
Okay.
And have Areola as a 4 million. And then I would move a Stupinan to Zinchenko or Gabriel. But I'm a little bit reluctant to go in on Arsenal, and that's where pre-season will give me the answers, because, you know, they're getting Timber in, who can play right back and centre back, as far as I know.
Yep.
So where's Ben White, who's inexplicably 5.5? Where will he go? He might not end up playing. He might end up moving into central defence. Maybe Timber's going to be in central defence. Who moves out? Is it Saliba? Well, he's just signing a new contract. Is it Gabriel? So Pete Gabriel could be moving out of defence. So he could be more for Champions League. And Zinchenko as well is there, but, you know, will he play every game? You know, he does have a bad injury record. Ramsdale's the one I really want, but I just can't. With the pricing, I need that money. Last season, I didn't care about money. We could get anyone you want. Everyone was so cheap. but this season, you do have to worry about money. And when people say, oh, it's too cheap. Some of the players are too cheap, but some of them aren't. Haaland's certainly not.
And we're all sat here, a lot of us, without Salah. So we still have to make some difficult choices. And Kane is another one. So I agree with you completely. I think the pricing has been done quite well this year. And we'll just have to see where it goes. Let's talk about Brighton's midfield, because, again, sorry to put you under that pressure that you've already alluded to. You obviously know the midfield better than those of us who don't get to watch them as often as you perhaps do. Although, I mean, you live in Yeovil now, don't you? So you're a little bit away. But
well, au contraire, no disrespect to Yeovil, especially my former Scout Keys cast colleague Andy lives there, but I don't live in Yeovil. I live near to Glastonbury, a place called Street, but very near Yeovil. And Yeovil. If it's possible to have a second team, it would be Yeovil. Yeovil are the team I see most live, and I'm looking forward to seeing them taking on the likes of Worthing and Eastbourne Borough next season.
It's not looking good for them, is it?
In the National League. So, well, weirdly, it's actually looking better for them because they've got new owners. They've got a nice new kit.
Oh, they sorted things out.
And they're in National League South. So they've gone from being one of the worst sides to they will be the team to beat in National League South. They'll be one of the bigger sides in there. So anyway, that's
Yeovil. Fingers crossed.
Anyway, I don't live in Yeovil, but I live near Yeovil. So no, I don't get to go to Brighton games that much. But the times, obviously, when I have been, and obviously watching on TV and those kinds of things. I think that the pricing has been a bit off. I think Matoma should have been 7 because I think he is, you know, in terms of demand, you watch a Brighton game and you go, wow, Matoma's amazing. Pascal Gross is great. He's a utility player. He could still be on penalties. He was on penalties before McAllister took them. So he should be the second penalty taker, but we don't know that. And so I think that's what they're gambling on, but he really should be 6 million. And March is, I personally really like Solly March.
Hasn't he played in every division for Brighton or something?
He's one of our, you know, oldest players as in the amount of time he's been playing there. Yeah. So what I think is actually March is the only one who's actually been priced right, because he should be a little bit less than Matoma because the demand won't be there, but I think he's as good as myself. So I personally would go for Matoma because I think he is on his day the best player there, and he can easily be moved down to Enciso, so you can make that million saving. And I like Enciso, but I don't know whether he's going to start every game. And I don't know how it's going to work out in Europe as well. This is new to Brighton. Brighton have never been in Europe before. For Villa, this is like, you know, oh, welcome back. You know, off we go. For Brighton, this is totally new territory for them. You know, they used to, you know, Johnston Paint Trophy being their second thing they're going for, but now they're going for the Europa League Cup, which is incredible. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah, and I suppose De Zerbi did start rotating quite a lot towards the end of the season when the fixtures packed up. You know, they were all Premier League games, of course, but when, you know, that doesn't really matter to him. He doesn't care about FPL, we assume. He hopefully likes it a little bit more than Dean Smith, but we'll find out. You know, so there could be rotation there. I think, yeah, having... I think everybody's got to have at least one Brighton midfielder so they can switch to the other one. Do you think that... I mean, you're not going to have an idea of how rotation is going to affect the players in pre-season, but can you see yourself being swayed towards March? Or so, for example, I've got Gross because he scored more points than any of them last season. It's quite funny because he of all the Brighton midfielders, didn't make the shortlist for the Fantasy Football Scout team of the season. And Gross was the one who scored more points than the other three and could be on penalties. Is there anything you could see in pre-season that could convince you to go for Gross, convince you to go for March instead of Mitoma? Or, you know, how set on Mitoma do you think you are? I mean, you sound like a big fan, but I just wonder if you can be swayed.
The thing about Brighton is because they're more of a team and less about individuals than some other teams can be. So if Brighton do well, Mitoma will do well. You know, he will get assists because if they score lots of goals, chances are he will get assists. He might even get a goal as well. Same for March, Pascal Gross. So Pascal Gross might earn a penalty. Or as we've seen, he scored a brace at least once. And once again, he was great he's been consistently good against Manchester United. For some reason, he really good against Manchester United. And it's possible things might change there. But the thing is, he's there. That's why he's there. Mitoma's their placeholder. Say he gets injured, well, I'll just go for March or Gross. One of them will be in my side, or in CISO. But definitely, because they're an attacking side, so you want one of their attackers. Stupinan is attacking fullback, so you want him as well. I mean, Stupinan has taken a penalty for his country, so who knows? Maybe. Oh. I can't see him taking them over from Pascal Gross, but you never know.
Yeah, don't get me too excited. That would be incredible. It would be like the return of Leighton Baines. Nostalgic heroes. Well, speaking of nostalgic heroes, we do have a couple in the 4 million defender bracket. And I do notice that you've got one of them at the moment. As in, he's not the hero yet. We've had heroes in the past. We could have some new ones. We've got Bell. We've got Baldock. We've got Bayer, who you've got in your team. Are you pretty set on having a 4 million defender for this season?
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of my thinking, you know, with the Meet the Manager videos I've been doing, you know, you interview managers and you take a little bit from each of them. And also you do it from people like yourself and other people you do videos with. And one I've taken from, I think it was Neil, has been a particular fan of this, is get as much money into your 11 as you can. So it doesn't matter if he's got an injured player on the bench or 4 million, you know, you're just not going to play them. So Bayer's there. Bayer could be anyone. Bayer could be my cat who's 19. It doesn't matter. They're not going to play. So it does not matter. I'm not going to go Bayer deep unless there's something catastrophic happens, like, I don't know, a pandemic or something like that, or the death of a monarch. But if something like that happens, then Bayer might come in, but he's just going to sit there. And so if he gets any points, it'll just be like, oh, okay, well, I've missed out on those points because they're on my bench. But I've saved that money in order to get Rashford, for example, or maybe I'd want Son, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah. I think that saving is good there. And I know you've spoken about Botman as well. Same principle there, value. 4.5 Champions League defender. And I know that General spoke about this on one of your other videos, and I'm sure lots of content creators are, so I won't dwell on that. But he is great value and you know, should be in teams. But I do have another player on my bench that I haven't seen in many teams, which I find quite surprising, in Cameron Archer.
Yeah, he's 4.5, if I'm not mistaken, forward at Aston Villa. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, he's a name I've been aware of for some time. At my previous job, I was a colleague of mine was Aston Villa fan, who's a big fan of this guy. And I suppose they have had a number of people in the way of him becoming involved. And could this be his season? You know, if Watkins gets injured, then I mean, probably isn't going to be. But he's a lot of potential about him, is what I've heard anyway.
No, it won't be his season, but is he a good 4.5 striker? Yes, in that. So who have Villa got up front? They've basically got Watkins, and then they've got a variety of other players supporting Watkins. So Watkins, 38 games in the league. You've got FA Cup, you've got League Cup. You've also got, League Cup, you'd expect Archer to play. but you've also got Europe as well. So is Watkins going to miss out on those European games? No. So at some point, what might happen is the way they've been managing Haaland at Man City. Watkins, you might see withdrawn. So Villa are 2-0 up, 3-0 up. Watkins gets withdrawn at the 70th minute. Archer comes on. So this is what you want from your 4.5 bench player. If in case you need them, you can, you better, you know, you can, he might nick a goal in the end game. He might come on. He might get minutes. He might not. And he's been doing well. He's a good prospect. So last season he was at Middlesbrough on loan, 20 appearances, 11 goals. Okay. Well, that's a 50% scoring rate at Middlesbrough, who are a good side. You know, indeed the season before he was at Preston North End, 20 appearances, 7 goals. So he's getting better. He's only 21. So yeah. And, you know, if I was from Walsall, where he was born, I would definitely get him in. not that I'm like stalking Cameron Desmond Archer or anything.
The funny thing is, you're not even the only content creator who has a 4.5 million striker that they have a very strange, intimate connection with. Because of course, General's got James Plunge. So
yeah, yeah, he's done it. He's done it for the lols.
I mean, that's the thing.
Taking the plunge, but if I was doing it for the lols, I would I'd be getting Arsenal defender Trusty in. Because he's got the best name. But I don't want to take an Arsenal spot just to have a laugh.
I mean, he sounds like a Thomas the Tank Engine character, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just chugging along. He's a very good engine, yeah. I've heard, according to the fact.
Yeah, send in Chief Fire Officer Trusty. He's good.
I mean, that's the funny thing, to be honest, is that is the difference between a 3-4-3 and a 3-5-2. Because when you play 3-4-3, your fifth midfielder is someone like an Andreas Pereira, someone who's mildly underpriced, starting games, and maybe plays in attacking midfield for a lesser team. But when you play 3-5-2, your third striker is just some nobody who has no possible chance of coming on or doing anything other than maybe just having a bit of banter, so a bit of lols around his name. So
I would be interested because, I mean, you know, I'm having a bit of a joke about being an Archer fan in the, you know, I do think he's a good option here, but Villa fans will know much, much more about him. And so I'd be interested to hear from them in the chat as well after the video, just to see, you know, whether he might go on loan again or whether the indication is that he is there. And he will be needed because of Europe as a first teamer, as a backup to Watkins. And you know what they feel about him as well. So hopefully they really like him. I mean, you know, in the same way that, you know, Brighton fans feel about Ferguson, for example, who's a bit more of a sure starter, but nevertheless a young talent. And you know, where they feel, you know, they'll do well this season. But yeah, I'd be interested to know that.
Yeah,
Plunge though, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and to be fair, also pre-season will be quite useful as well, because if we see Archer starting a lot of games, and that's a nice little segue for me just to push the Fantasy Football Scout pre-season page, where we will be tracking all the minutes of all the players. Historically, the pre-season minute spreadsheet is what discovered Aaron Wan-Bissaka, John Lundstrom, Livramento, those the 4 million defenders. We normally see them there first, but you know, can always find some cheaper players in other positions as well. So do keep an eye on that as the pre-season builds. There's no other place where all of that information is going to be accumulated in the same place, rather than you having to follow a bunch of tweets on Twitter, which you might not even be able to see because you used up your daily allowance. So
Threads on Threader.
Exactly. Yeah. I went there for some sewing advice and I didn't find it, so I'm a bit disappointed about that. So
very poor.
Yeah. So if you want to avoid any of that, then the preseason page is going to help you massively. So yeah, do check that out. And a lot of what Joe is also looking for in preseason, a lot of the questions that he has got will be answered probably by that as well. So yeah. Well, thanks very much for joining us, Joe. It's been good to have a look at your team.
Pleasure.
And as ever, I'm always a big fan of working out what the price point structure is from the price points maestro himself. So appreciate you showing us that with your team. Plenty of things probably will change throughout the rest of the season. We could be sat here in the week leading up to game week one and your team could look completely different. We might grab you for another video in that regard. So hopefully we'll see more of you soon.
Yeah.
With that... Definitely. Just also another plug for Fantasy Football Scout membership as well. If you haven't signed up for the new season, then go to fantasyfootballscout.co.uk, go to the members benefits at the top and pick the package that is right for you. That's everything that I need to bash listeners and viewers over the head with, Joe, unless there's anything you'd like to add.
No, just really, I mean, keep having a look at those articles on Fantasy Football Scout. Look at the season ticker as well. And that'll say that Arsenal, Man City, who last season were the two best sides, coincidentally have the best fixtures in the first six. You know, the information like that, really simple stuff. But, you know, which teams are good and which teams have good fixtures? That's basically what you should do. Just get players from those teams.
That's advice for the whole season in about 45 seconds right there.
Yeah.
You can tell that you work in journalism, Joe. You've taken something relatively complicated. You made it very understandable for the layman in about 45 seconds. So thank you very much for that.
Yep.
Well, thanks very much for joining us again, Joe. And with that, I will leave you fine folks to enjoy the rest of your tinkering, and we will see you next time.